lives one bite at a time. If you are new here, I'm Prima Signar. I'm the founder of Stella Eats, a marketplace for people with special dietary needs across Canada. And unfortunately today, my co-host Allison won't be able to join us. She has a little bit of a flu, so it will just be me and our guest today. Normally in our podcast, we do explore the ideas and the relationship between food, lifestyle, and everything in between. We can really talk about anything under the sun. And we invite nutritionists, food innovators, wellness advocates, and we also have everyday people who are rethinking how food fits into their lives and how it had changed for them as well. And today we are joined by someone incredibly special, Cheryl, an entrepreneur whose story began in her kitchen and healing in her family through food, from the raw smoothie bar she started to the whole food manufacturing business she runs now. Cheryl is someone who lives and breathes what it means to nourish from the inside out. And so we are so excited to dive into her story today. Welcome, Cheryl. Welcome to our podcast. And before we into the journey from where you started to where you are now, can you please tell us a bit about you? And yeah, and we're happy to have you today.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for having me. So I'm just a girl who grew up on the west coast of Canada, and I was not a health food nut when I was younger, but a big nature lover and always, always looking for the, like always celebrating everything to do with nature, animals, plants, and whatnot, but really not very knowledgeable or conscious about my eating habits. And I became a teacher, and my husband and I have three kids. And the health issues, they started creeping up in my 30s. And both my husband and I had been really quite healthy and athletic as young people. We were just lucky. We were naturally sort of healthy and strong. My weakness had always been in my lungs, so I had a little bit of asthma, nothing huge, but a chronic asthma, but very low grade, and didn't really impede my lifestyle much. I was still able to do sports and everything. And that got worse in my 30s, and I became more dependent on medications for the asthma to control the inflammation in my respiratory system. And my husband's issues had to do with digestion, so he was popping antacids a lot, and like he relied on them daily pretty much to calm down the reflux. And he didn't really, like, we didn't connect it necessarily with diet. I was making salads a lot. We thought we ate pretty well. We had members of the family get really into raw juice. And for a long time, I didn't think too much of it. And then one day I thought, well, I'll just go get some and try it. We weren't juicing at home. We were just buying, like, most people were buying, I was buying Tropicana orange juice for the kids. And I thought that was great because it was not from concentrate, right? And it tasted really fresh and good. So I thought I was doing a good thing for my family. And anyway, I went to a juice bar in Toronto, and I bought two bottles of raw juice. And I went back to my car and I opened one, and it was a blend very much like our blend that we call Afterglow. So it had pineapple, cucumber, celery, ginger, that sort of blend. And I had a few sips and I fell in love instantly because I could feel, the cells of my body kind of celebrating this. It was so delicious and it was so uplifting. And I just felt instantly really rejuvenated, and I really fell in love with with the intensity of the flavor and how it was making my body feel. And so I got a little juicer and I started juicing at home. Mm-hmm. And one of my daughters was at a young age, she wanted to go vegetarian. And so we just ended up kind of gravitating towards a more plant-based diet. And and I had so fallen in love with the juice that I said to my husband, I think I'd like to, you know, open a juice bar and then I can have juice all the time. And and I can share it with other people because it's mm-hmm. so, you know, it's just so the dense nutrition you get from juicing fruits and vegetables and the incredibly intense flavor. And you can feel the good that it's doing to your body. And I didn't understand at that point that it had to do, like, the rawness is really important because it had to do with the enzymes and the microbes and the fact that it hadn't been pasteurized. It, you know, even Tropicana, as it's not from concentrate, but it is pasteurized juice. So every single juice that, or smoothie or whatever you pick up in the grocery store that is, has a shelf life that's longer than, you know, 3 or 4 days, that's a pasteurized product. And so this got me interested in just the, you know, looking at our supply chain and going, well, why is this raw juice so much better? And it has a lot to do with the microbes and enzymes that are destroyed through pasteurization. Anyway, we ended up feeling better. I went, my reliance on asthma medication dropped to like nothing. I could go weeks without taking any. I stopped buying the antacids for my husband. So he was seeing a huge improvement in his digestive system. And we ended up opening a plant-based juice bar, smoothie bar. We did salad bowls and we did it's like healthy baking. We had a beautiful little menu and it was in a small town in Ontario called Port Hope. And but it was a small town and we realized that, you know, it wasn't a business model that you could scale up. And it was difficult, like it was hard to find staff. And so I started delivering to a wider area. So I was delivering raw juices and not smoothies so much because they don't travel that well, but I was delivering raw juice all over Southern Ontario. And again, it was like, okay, well, this is great. People love our products, but you can't really scale that model. That's a very difficult thing to scale. And so we looked around the industry and what I saw was that almost everybody in juice and smoothies, if they want to scale up and access a wider audience for their products, almost everybody is creating a pasteurized product, whether it's in the category of juice or smoothie. And none of those, like some of those products are healthier than others, but none of them rival the quality and flavor of the truly fresh stuff that is unpasteurized. And so the one thing you can do to extend shelf life of a juice or smoothie without compromising the health benefits and the great flavor is freezing. So we settled on freezing as a way to get a long shelf life. So our products have a shelf life of a year in the freezer. And honestly, they'd last even longer, but that's the, we give them an official shelf life of a year. And the smoothies are frozen in these concentrated pucks. So it's a very strong smoothie recipe. So we took some of our most popular recipes from the smoothie bar and we made a kind of a concentrated form of them. And we froze them into puck shapes. So they're these portioned pieces that you pop into your blender and you add your liquid, whether it's water or milk, and you blend it up and you get literally the equivalent of a fresh made smoothie bar quality smoothie, but it's in your kitchen and it's ready in 30 or 40 seconds. And so the smoothies are sold like that. And the juices, we simply bottle them and freeze them. So all of our products are sold frozen so that they can be unpasteurized so people can access that really great raw goodness with convenience.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Like, it's so amazing how you were able to finally figure out what's actually the missing piece in the juicing or manufacturing industry in terms of, you know, having that good access. So going through that process, you talk about a different process that you finally, you know, I think that's your one key difference between all brands. And I think it's very great for a brand like yours to really think about your customers health-wise. When you decided to shift based on you said the decision you've made on not going with the usual commercialization, when you make that decision, what is it that made you trust that change that that you want really people to experience, which I think people don't really understand what's behind in the packaging, and you've actually walked that through. But
we came into
the really that you want people to get more of what it looks like to be healthy, because it's beyond these labels. And we certainly are trusting the existing brands, as we know, but there's also that hidden agenda that absolutely kills our own issue. I want to talk about the gut biome as well, because I know when we had our conversation prior to the podcast, you have also touched on that topic.
Yeah. I'm not a scientist by any means, but I do a lot of reading, and in the health sciences, it's absolutely clear now that the microbiome, the digestive microbiome, all the millions or trillions of microbes that live in our bodies are an incredibly integral aspect of our entire being. And the fact that we have created an industrialized food chain that kills, like, as a matter of course, almost every product that you buy, in order to make it food safe and shelf stable, it has gone through a process to kill off not only the potential pathogens that could cause illness, but all the beneficial good microbes are destroyed. So the processes that we use in the industry, and I think most people aren't fully aware of this, just how depleting and destructive the processes are in order to make food shelf stable and give it a long shelf life. So I do think that frozen foods are quite special, because it's one of the few ways that you can safely preserve and get a long shelf life out of a food without destroying the essential components that make that whole food really nutritious. And so I guess there's basically two things that we're trying to hold on to and offer people that are very rare in packaged foods. And one is that we use the whole food ingredient, and the other is that we keep it raw. So we offer one of the most minimally processed packaged foods in the grocery store. And it's a lot of people, when they're reading labels, there's a lot of in the industry, take fruit, for example. So we use a ton of fruit, and we use IQF fruit, which means frozen fruit. So, individually quick frozen, I think, is the IQF part. And so that is fruit that is frozen at like its optimal ripeness, and it's whole. So that is the basis of our smoothie products are mostly made from frozen fruits, just like you would at home put your frozen strawberries and berries and maybe some vegetables in.
Right.
So that's how we produce at the factory. Now, when a company like us has a concept for their product and they start working in the industry and talking to people about scaling up and talking to people who own factories about possibly having the product made in their factory. And in the industry, that's called co-manufacturing or co-packing. So what we found is that a lot of co-manufacturers would hear about our formulas, which were predominantly frozen fruits and juices and seeds and nuts and things like that. And the juices that we use are mostly raw juice because we're also a juice company. So we put our raw juices into our smoothie formulations. And that also makes them more flavorful and more densely nutritious. So we have created this very, really tasty. So we've captured like the full flavor and nutrition of these really great plant ingredients. And in co-manufacturing, in a co-manufacturer's perspective, our product is, it's a bit difficult, it's expensive, it raises, you get audited more because of the raw ingredients. So from a food safety perspective, it's not as easy for them. So your costs go up and the liability is a bit higher. And they just don't want, like, they don't run their factories that way because it affects their bottom line. So in terms of fruit, most factories are using what are called aseptic purees. So a puree, and in your kitchen, when you're told to puree your banana, you just mash up your banana, right?
Exactly.
But in terms of the it's different in the food industry. So if you were to go online and say, show me a banana puree factory, you'll see a whole lot of machinery. So that it's not just mashed up bananas when you're working in food manufacturing. An aseptic banana puree is a sterile liquid that is made from bananas through a whole lot of processing. So if you looked up that factory, you see a lot of heavy machinery. So your banana is not just being mashed up. You are losing a lot because it's being sterilized. It's being transformed into a liquid that is completely sterile so that it can sit on a shelf and not go rotten for potentially for years. Mm-hmm. So that is the banana that is in a whole lot of our food products. And it's not necessarily going to tell you on the label that this is aseptic banana puree in this food item. It might just say bananas, because they haven't added anything to the bananas, but they've so heavily processed those bananas that they don't really resemble a banana anymore. And they've certainly been depleted of a huge amount of the nutritional value of the original whole banana. And that goes for all the fruits, right? You've got a lot of companies using strawberry puree or raspberry puree, or, you know, they're very, very common in the industry. And when you make a product like ours and you start talking to people in the industry, they will inevitably tell you, you were going to have to change and start using purees. So actually early in our journey, we bought some industrial purees experiment with them. And what we found is that they're quite bitter. A lot of the original flavor is lost. So they're not as sweet. They're more bitter and they're quite flat tasting. So this is why you get companies adding back in some form of sweetener or natural flavoring. So even in the health food industry, right? So maybe they don't add a whole bunch of sugar and artificial flavors, but they'll add stevia, or they'll add monk fruit, or they'll add like these, you know, natural flavorings, which bothers me. Like every single ingredient should be identified. We shouldn't have a catch term called natural flavorings, because when you start digging into that, you'll find that natural flavorings are not all healthy. Not everything natural is healthy. So that's what happens in the food industry, is that someone comes along with a great idea like ours, and the industry says, okay, well, that banana that you're using is going to be a banana puree, and this is going to be this. And because we've lost a lot of flavor and sweetness by going to purees, we're going to have to add.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That are not very clean and not actually at a cellular level, they're not very beneficial to our bodies. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lovely movement, like to put a positive spin on this, because we're starting to recognize this is contributing mm-hmm. to disease and ill health and mental health problems 100%. And all of it, that we have this like really great movement right now towards, mm-hmm. they call it like the ancestral diet. So
yes,
you
I
look
heard
for
about
ingredients,
it. It's the comeback,
you know, ingredients, yeah, that people, like before the age of industrialization, mm-hmm. what ingredients were people using to nourish themselves, and try to focus on that. Now mm-hmm. in the food industry, you're not going to find a whole lot of choice when it comes to that. So we feel strongly that we should try to scale this thing up and be one of those rare companies that actually is offering a convenience food that is in alignment with that philosophy of food and nutrition and lifestyle.
Wow, that's so wonderful that you've take us to the back seat, or the front seat rather, of what the manufacturing looks like, and you're really changing or challenging the status quo of manufacturing. And I'm glad that you talk about the nutritional value, like bringing back the ancestral diet. I love that you're really challenging what sits out there, and I love that your brand is making this comeback a more mainstream. Okay. All right. Cheryl, thank you for being with us today. It is so clear that this isn't just a business for you, it is a legacy. And I know our listeners are walking away feeling more inspired, more empowered to look in their fridge, put something more healthy on their plate, and of course, live their life differently. And to our listeners, continue to stay tuned in. Remember to share this episode and leave us a review, and also tell us what's the next episode you would like to hear from us. Until next time, eat well, live well, and keep nourishing not just your body, but your life as well. Thank you, Cheryl. This has been a pleasure. Until next time, keep it raw and real. Thank you. Bye.